Welcome back to the Layman's Term Show. We had a little break since Christmas, a little hiatus. It was great. So welcome back. We're going to start a new series called What the Tech? Good old dad joke there. But we're really going to look at how technology has impacted our lives and the use of said technology. Is it good? Is it bad? How does it affect our faith? So, Mitch.
I feel like we're going to end up this episode like the grumpy old men. Remember them?
Oh, back in my day. Tell me about growing up.
Back in my day? We're honestly going to start this
off. We're going to go back in my day.
Back in my day.
Growing up, what is like a huge, what you felt at the time or do now was a huge technological leap as a childhood? And like, how has it impacted your life?
I remember when, like, the cellular device, right? Because we didn't, my parents didn't have the pager thing. There was, right?
Yeah. So the two-way, the pager, the two-way.
That, you know, so it really, and we didn't ever have the car phone, the bag phone thing. So it was really kind of later whenever, like, the cell phones came out and we had one. I think my dad ended up with a cell phone. And you could reach him when he wasn't in his office. So I remember a time where he would leave. You wave bye, Dad. You know, you go to work. And then you go to school and you come home. And you'd sit there on the porch starting about 5 o'clock with your ball glove waiting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
For the little dust cloud to come over the hill. And you're like, woohoo, Dad's home, right? And there was a point where, like, you know, he would call and say,
hey, I'm leaving
the office, right?
Yep.
And you knew there was a, you know, there's about a 30-minute window where he'd show up in. Well, I remember the revolution of my mom being able to, like, intersect him on the drive and be like, go get dinner. Or,
Or, like, we're out of milk, we're out of whatever.
Right. Yeah. There was... And I think it really does change it really changes your, whenever you have to plan things out and make, I think that's the plus and the minus of the technology stuff, right? Like, we all survived before you were able to intercept someone en route and send them on the errand for the other thing.
Yes.
We survived before that.
Yeah. Or going to the grocery store and forgetting what you were supposed to get.
Yeah.
Right? And like, you're like, oh, I think it was tangerines, so I'm going to grab some tangerines. And then you get home, and it wasn't tangerines. Right?
Yeah. Anyway, I think the... Yeah. I mean, and that, I don't know. Was that like a lame answer? Like,
no, I think
whenever
that's a pretty
I say
good
the
one.
Cellular... But I think that separates our generation from generations before or after us, because that kind of happened in our childhood. Like...
Yeah, you're not really specifically narrowing down like a device today and all the things it can do, but just a really pivotal moment of like connectivity,
like,
between you and someone else.
Communication changed. Yes, that's what I'm saying. I remember and experienced the change when communication went from physical planetary locations to transient movable individuals.
Yeah.
You used to call a spot.
Yes.
And there was a person there who could tell you what you want to know or the whereabouts of the person, right?
Right. Or an answering machine.
Yeah.
Do you ever remember growing up, your parents like changing the answering machine to like whatever was going on? Yeah. Not even that, but like whatever was going on for the week. Like, hey, if you're calling about the used car, you know, that I put in the paper, you know, or whatever, right? Like, did your parents ever do that at all?
No.
Oh, man. Sometimes my parents did.
But you're so much more technologically advanced than us humans. Like,
You set it the first time, then you lost instructions and you forgot how to
set it once. It was like probably a big enough. It was like, whew.
Glad it's on default.
Glad we don't got to do that for another 5 years.
That's funny.
Until the tape wears out.
I think for me, I don't know, now that I think about it, my initial response was going to be having a computer in my house. But I really think I'm going to narrow that down a little bit into, because we had a computer growing up when I was young, which is abnormal for most people my age, right? But my dad had access to his company. He worked for AT&T at the time in the manufacturing like end of it. And when they would upgrade their PCs, they would just be like, oh, here you go. You know, like take one home to your kid, you know, because there wasn't really a, like it was growing so leaps and bounds at that point that like it became like a paperweight, right, for most things. And so we had one of the very first personal kind of computers ever made, you know, no hard drive, nothing. Everything ran off a disk, right? So we had them at a very young age. But I think, and that has impacted my life today. I'm very technology driven as an individual, and that definitely having early access to technology has really helped me in my life. But I think probably for me, it was when specifically with a computer, when we got our first modem that we could connect our computer to another computer.
I saw this episode of Young Sheldon.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But it was such an amazing thing that you could communicate, whether it was not early on in the kind of modem sphere, you didn't really play games. Like games didn't have multiplayer options or whatever. It was all, they call them bulletin board systems and stuff like that, where you would, like a forum or, you know, whatever, and you would connect to this bulletin board system and it'd be like, you know, people sharing the news or the weather, you know, like, you know, obviously there, I was a kid and I did lots of kid things. And so you could connect and share like online game tips, you know, or not online game, but like game tips, like, so games that you played on your computer and be like, oh, I'm stuck in this spot or whatever. You can connect to this gaming bulletin board system and be like, find where the people got stuck and how to get around it. Right. So
I would like comment to how many people out there in listening land can relate to Keith's story versus how many can relate
so
to mine.
Terrible.
I don't know how many people are still listening.
Probably none.
You technologically just baffled me there. I spent the first half of your story trying to figure out, is the modem the thing that's the internet?
Yes. It's like the communicator. Anyway, sorry.
Sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, just being able to connect to, but I think to me, to your point, is about connectivity. Right. It was about being able to, like, I'm in my house and I normally can only do this thing. And if I get stuck in this, I got to go next door to Billy's house and be like, Billy, you play this game? Like, you beat it yet? No. Then I got to go to Frankie's. And then, you know what I mean? Versus I can just connect to thousands of people that have played this game and get the information that I need or whatever. Right. That connectivity is really what I think changed. That impact, right, that I had with it. So I think it boils down to connectivity as well.
Yeah, I think I remember whenever the Napster came along and you had this access to music, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was this massive open sourced access to shared music, and artistically, you can say, "Oh my gosh, it's so wonderful that you can have all this access to such a vast library of creative content."
Yep.
Well, the flip side of that same coin is you kind of change a whole wave of people who potentially are going to be producing original creative content.
Sure.
They now their whole perspective and everything has changed. Mm-hmm. And I think music's a big example of that.
Well, and, you know, let's look at the downside of that example, too. And we can look at the downside of both of our examples. But then now these music artists aren't getting paid, right? Because,
oh, yeah.
Because people are just downloading their music, right? And so, like, from a you're creating something to get monetary value out of it, not to create it for the sake of creating it. And so, you know, you can look at the internet connecting people. I think we all know there's some downsides to the internet connecting people.
Yeah.
And like even cell phones. I mean, there's tons of downside to being totally available 100% of the time, right? So with technology, and that's kind of like our topic for today is that technology can be used for good, but can also be used for not good applications as well. And really, it's not that the technology, it's not that cell phones are bad, it's not that computers are bad, it's that the way that we using the technology can be good or bad, and it's really our decision on way to
what to do. It's kind of like you say, I have this conversation with lots of folks and peers and people in our life stage who have multiple kids doing multiple activities, school, lots of school activities. We have AMI days. There's a lot of stuff. And if you think about it,
alternative method of instruction days.
But there's a lot of days that in your life where stuff changes like so crazy throughout the day, and you think, we wouldn't be able to make all these changes to all the scheduling, and it wouldn't be possible without this great technology of this cell phone and all these applications.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason all these changes exist in realms of possibility is because it is enabled by the technology.
Sure.
Prior to it being there, there wasn't. When my dad was little league coaching, you couldn't last minute move the practice from this field to the gymnasium to the, like, you couldn't do it. You just canceled it. Done. Problem solved.
And you'd have somebody standing there, and when parents showed up, be like, nope, go to the gymnasium. Go to the gymnasium.
Yeah, but you couldn't tie together the eight different, hoops and tumbling blocks and hoops to jump through, right?
Yeah.
To get all that worked out.
Yeah.
But yet, with our nimble communication systems we have now, you're able to.
I like to think of it as not that we want to relive our last week. We had a bunch of snow days, but I remember, I'm sure you remember growing up, snowing outside, run down to the TV to the news, and wait for the school to show up on the bar. Right. I remember one time in high school. Getting up, kind of icy out. I'm like, hey, I'm probably okay. Had conditioning, early morning conditioning for tennis. It was like in February, the not mandatory conditioning. And went in, did the conditioning, hit the showers, right? Got done, went to the library, hour and a half before school starts. And in the library, and like vice principal comes in. What are you doing? Like, I'm doing some homework before school. It's like, school's canceled, bro. I'm like, what? School's canceled. He's like, yeah. You didn't see it on the TV? Because we didn't have those methods of communication that we do now, where you get a text message and a phone call and all your cellular devices. And I'm like, no, I was here for conditioning early this morning. And he's like, well, it's been on the TV since 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, had I got up as a high schooler and looked at the TV, I would have known not to come in, right? But I did, and so did a bunch of us. And we did our conditioning. So, like, technology has improved our ability to navigate certain things, like, this field not being able to be in use or whatever, which I think is great. So, technology, we've got this dual-edged sword of technology where you can use it for good and you can use it for bad. I'm kind of interested in your thoughts on some of the ways that technology has maybe drawn you closer to your relationship with God, or maybe has improved your relationship with God, and then maybe what ways some technology has not improved or maybe taken you further away from God.
So I think information, accessibility, and how we all process information differently. There's these variety of ways to learn things. Therefore, there's a variety of ways to teach things. Mm. And you can have exposure to lots of those via technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. So when you're having trouble understanding something, theologically speaking, I got maybe one, two ways to kind of give you an analogy to shed some light on it for
sure.
you. But I can also run it through a whole network of theologically minded pastors that have good ideas. They all have large networks of themselves that they can send you a great YouTube video of somebody putting something in a different way that really cleans up some fuzzy edges.
Sure.
That I was just unable to communicate to you in a way that you understood appropriately. Great, right? You can draw, you can close the gap with the ability to make those connections that technology's allowed us to do.
Sure.
At the same time, when you're searching up the YouTube video to get a good visual representation of the Trinity, you could find yourself 2.5 hours into Dude Perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is good content.
It's funny.
But it may not have drawn you closer to where you were headed.
Yeah.
So it's intentionality. I think, likewise, knowing how to find, well, we had a great member of this church who was on our leadership team, superintendent of the schools. I remember early on here, young kids, and Dr. Bill Nicely said we were in a transition time when he was a kid, when he was a student. The most important thing you could do for kids is get them to retain as much information as possible in their mind and then be able to recall it as quick as possible.
Yep.
Pretty much.
How you and I were taught.
Pretty much, yeah. What you're, because your brain is in that capacity, a low powered processing device, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does some amazing things, but compared to some of the stuff we got now, its processing device may be a little antiquated, right? Compared to other things on like mathematically, right, speaking.
Yeah.
But as much information as you can get to store in there and then teach yourself to recall it quickly, is that's your education. The shift now, Dr. Nicely would say, is teaching kids how to get the information from all the other sources in a recall process as quick as possible. So instead of storing the information yourself, it gets externally stored. You're storing the pathways to get to it.
Interesting.
And that, I think, is cool because I don't think there's a right answer or a wrong answer. I think it's right for different points in time. There was a time when it was really, really good to have all the different orders of your paper Bible memorized and be able to flip, you know, quickly flip to
whatever book it was.
To know, oh, well, this book come, you know, you know.
Oh, turn to Acts chapter 2.
I'm looking for Mark.
Right.
I'm in Matthew. I need to go forward.
Right.
Yep. Not backwards, right?
Yep.
Great. But also I have on my device an app that has also, I can find every single verse in any language I choose, in every translation I want, and quickly, with the flip of your thumb, change the translations.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the accessibility of scripture like that is amazing. Now, is it so with the next generation, think 100 years from now, like, is there the paper Bible that's people are still trying to memorize the orders of and finding those things? Or is the accessibility to how our stuff's kept cataloged
and stored
going to be changed so vastly?
Yeah, I mean, you could from a science fiction dream of neural implants or something that stores all the information for us, and we just have to learn how to recall it, right? And we can visually see it in our head, you know, versus having to look at a phone or something like that. I think that if you look at from a technology standpoint of I think it goes back to what you do with it, right? Like, to your point with YouTube or whatever, right? If you're like, today I was trying to solve a problem with our soundboard, right? Go to the old YouTube. How do I do this with this soundboard? Pops it up. Hey, great. Somebody's got a video. Click this, 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 and this. Gets to where you want to go. Awesome. And then I look down and see another video about funny, silly cats. And I'm like, well, I could click on that and see some silly cats, right? And then just kind of waste my time for the day.
Algorithms will get you.
Yeah.
And I know, I think I'm a little bit of a, you have to know you.
Yeah.
Right? I know people who have a television on all day long as like just some background, like filler stuff. The way I process information visually and audibly, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I'll just be like walking through the living room and then, yeah, deer in the headlights, 45 minutes later, I'm wiping drool off my chin and, you know, wondering what happened. Well, yeah. I just got distracted by the shiny twinkly lights.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know that. Really. So I don't do, I'm not on the socials.
Yeah.
I'm not on, I try to avoid.
You try to minimize your distraction. You're distractible.
I try to avoid. Yes. I try to avoid the, because I'm susceptible to it. Yeah. Right. And it's not that I'm above it or like, I just know that.
So good.
I just know that if you showed me 3 or 4 funny cat videos, it might be 3 or 4 hours later before I've,
yeah,
you know, been like, hey, whoa, that was a lot of cat videos.
And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes we do that with the kids. Well, you know, it's 7:30, 30 minutes before bedtime. Everybody's kind of winding down. Let's put on some funny cat videos, you know, for 30 minutes and everybody giggles and has a good time and goes to bed, right? I think for me, I just want to point to an interesting...
Hold on, did we say that cat videos were a good or a bad thing? I just want to make a note.
I love funny cat videos.
Cat videos are a plus.
Plus.
Check.
I think if you look at the wheel of emotions, mm-hmm. they generally, funny cat videos brings you into the positive side.
Okay. We'll talk about wheel of emotions sometime too. Yeah. We should do a wheel of emotions podcast.
We should. So I do want to kind of narrow down a little bit in terms of technology. So we have a lot of conversation about AI, right? There's a lot of conversation out there. People are probably tired of hearing the word AI. Businesses throw it around in their corporate talk all the time. And I do want to kind of, just from a nerd perspective for a second, okay? When most people talk about AI, they're actually really talking about machine learning, which is completely different than AI.
Correct.
Right. And so for all you listeners out there, people throw AI together as like the generic, like a tissue, right? But sometimes it's machine learning, which machine learning is you take a machine, like a computer program, and you feed it a bunch of information. Like you feed it the Bible, okay? And then from a back-end perspective, you ask this computer a question and say, hey, who's the best guy you know, right? And then it's going to spit out, well, Jesus was the best guy you know, because it's only been fed the Bible. It doesn't understand any other context outside of what you fed it.
Yeah, but if you would have fed it everything, it would have came up with the same answer.
Well, probably.
So.
So my thing is AI specifically is the pursuit of finding or developing a system, a computer program system, whatever, that can create something from nothing, right? And not necessarily, so you're still feeding it information, but it's capable of producing its own thing, right? And so like what a lot of people think of, like I'm sure we've seen all the AI photos that are going around, right? Which is, I can plug into, we've got a program that I can plug in there and say, show me a picture of a dog sitting in church, okay? And it'll spit out, you know, 5 different options of dogs sitting in churches. But all it's doing is searching its database for a picture of a dog that it already has, a picture of a church that it already has, you know, and then putting those 2 things together. It's not creating a dog it's never seen before or a church it's never seen before and creating the image. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. So,
not really.
Anyway, so AI, how has or has it yet impacted your work or somebody that you know? What to you are like, hey man, that's really cool. That's really positive that this AI or machine learning or whatever can do this for you. And then what are some things that you're kind of like also like, that makes me kind of nervous?
So I'd say like here's an example. Last night we had Impact Youth Group, getting my Impact Youth kids out there. Shout out to you. Boop, boop. I'm going to apologize for the lengthy message that we had last night, right? So part of our curriculum, I have access to a large breadth of materials. Last night we did a project, decorated a whole bunch of cupcakes for our partner school at Whittier. So we decorated like 144 plus cupcakes.
Tons of cupcakes.
Which the kids did a great job and they're very meticulous. So it took longer than I thought. I thought it was gonna be like, there's the icing, there's the sprinkles, move on, right? And then we went and then we played a game. It was super fun. So we did like extra rounds of the game. But I wanted to get to the content.
Then you just droned on with the content.
Well, I didn't. I droned through it. I like speed read content that I have because I thought the mission was super important. I thought the game and interacting and having fun and having just goofy social time for teens is fun, where it's just like you just get to be goofy and laugh at yourself. Like, I think that's such a great – our teens' lives, they take so seriously and they live in a world that they think they have to be taken so seriously that, making pretty much – it was like a working blind – versions of like clay modeling, like speed modeling for fun was created some goofy outcomes and the kids got a kick out of it, right? That was great. Want to get that. And then I wanted to get them into their small groups to discuss some of the content. Some of the content was the feeling wheel. So I had like to download into them the basis of the next month's worth of content about feelings and how it's okay to have feelings. The full range of emotion, they're okay, right? Yeah. And I had like 3-4 pages of content that I hadn't pared down because I thought I might have 30 minutes. Well, when I got to 15 minutes, I was not prepared to pare that down. Now, I can use some AI to quickly pare down that content. I can use some machine learning and say, hey,
what's the most important parts of this? Right.
Condense this. Condense it for me. Boil it down.
Yeah.
Get it richer. Right. Yeah. Like, I want the shorten it up for me so that I can have a couple versions of it so that next week, we've just had way too much fun here and everybody's ready to get to small group discussions on the topic, man, can I just bullet point? Get them the information they need, the tools to then have those discussions in small group without them being like, dude, Mitch, you're droning on here. When it's just taking me way too long between bullet points. So anyway, I think that's a great opportunity. To your point, that's more machine learning. Like, you're going to feed something into it.
And it's going to spit something
out. You know, but I'm not asking it. I'm not asking it theological questions.
So I have a friend, right? I have a friend that programs for a living, right? So he works on computer. So a great example would be this one company has an older computer program system that isn't working for him. Something went haywire with it, but it's older. No one programs in that language anymore. Like, it's just this old system, right? And my friend is like, his job in life is to quickly learn old, useless programming code, you know, like programming languages, and then fix these things, right? That's his sole job in this company. And so he learns, you know, he'll sit down in 2 weeks and learn this old programming code, look through the code, find the problem, fix it, and boom, right? So what he does now, though, is he can run all that code through AI, through a bunch of machine learning, through AI, and then it can find the issue and give him the correct programming on really complex situations, right? And so at first you're kind of like, well, shoot, he's going to be without a job soon. But the real problem is he's still the one guy that knows how to feed the information in. He's still the only one guy that knows when it spits it out that it's correct. And he's the one that knows how to implement, right? But it's saving him tons of time. Like, it's saving him and the company tons and tons and tons of time to do this, right? And I've got another friend in kind of a similar situation where he's just a contract employee and somebody will come to him and be like, hey, I need you to program me this or whatever. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. And it's a contract based off of, hey, we'll pay you $10,000 to program us this, okay? Regardless of whether it takes him a year or a month, they're going to pay him 10 grand to do this. Well, if he can take some of the chunkiest parts that are difficult to figure out and run it through AI, run it through ChatGPT, a more advanced version than what we have access to, and it spits it out for him, well, then it completes his work for him in a lot less time, saving him time, which then means he can take other contracts and make more money, right? Which is a great use, I think, of AI and these abilities. But in that same course, you know, if you think about I've got a friend whose kid's in college, right? And wrote this paper, turned the paper in, right? This big thing now in I don't know in high schools specifically, but I know some high schools do it, but a lot of colleges do it, where they've got this AI program, this AI detector, right, to see if they used ChatGPT or AI to write their paper, okay? Well, so this thing flagged like 62% AI generated, right? And so professor comes to him, says, nah, you get an F, you get a zero on the paper, it's AI generated. Okay. Well, it's because they don't understand how it works. There's certain things, like if you're writing a paper and you quote something in it, well, yeah, that's that you're quoting something else. Well, AI can't, this version of this software they're using can't detect, oh, hey, that's a quote from this other thing. It's quoted, it's sourced, you know, like in the paper. So it determines that that's AI, or it's generated because it's pulled from somewhere else, right? Or if you think about certain things, there's just certain ways to describe something that everybody just uses to describe this said
thing.
Well,
I think like papers and research papers are generally about 90% source material.
Yeah.
Because I was under the guidance of college professors that I don't care what your opinion is, right?
I just want to know that. Yeah.
You go find the information and show me what information you have to back up.
Yeah. So it was a history paper, not necessarily anyway. So he's writing this paper. Anyway, so what was funny is the email, the professor first sent him an email, you know, it was like, hey, blah, 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 generated this, blah, 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 blah. And so the student, my friend's son, took that email, ran it through the AI detector. The email showed up as 62% positive AI written.
Yeah.
Right? You know? And then he took the professor's doctorate dissertation, ran it through the detector, and it was 78% AI. Right? Okay. And not that this is the smartest thing in the world to do, but then he takes those two things and sends it to the dean of students saying, oh, you got a professor on staff who plagiarized his dissertation for his PhD, trying to make his point that, like,
yeah, there's probably a better way to make the point.
You know, that, like, hey, this program's fake, right?
Yeah.
Guess what happened? They fired the professor because they're like, oh, you plagiarized your PhD dissertation.
That's terrible.
Which is terrible. So they're so stuck. This is the bad. This is the bad side of
technology.
Okay,
we're talking about the bad side here, kids.
They're so stuck on the. They don't understand it. They don't understand how the program works. They're just taking it carte blanche as like, oh, this is the truth, yep. Right? And I think that that's the fear that I have in some of this is that if we're creating as a society a technology that the vast majority of people don't understand that technology, then it can lead to situations like this. This is kind of a benign situation, but it impacted somebody in their life, right? So there's a downside to the same technology that helps one of my friends but can potentially hurt someone else because of the lack of understanding, the lack of understanding that technology.
Fascinating.
Did I lose you at some point in that?
Oh, minutes ago. I was thinking about lunch. So we got to wrap this up. We got to tie a bow on this. What do you want to close with?
Well, I think what we probably should do is everybody out there should take a look at what technology they're currently using, how often they're using it, and is it a benefit to your life or is it a hindrance to your life? I don't think either one of us is saying at any point we shouldn't have some fun and watch some silly cat videos.
Oh, yeah.
But really take an audit, kind of like a technology audit of your life, and see what is really draining some of your time, and then how you can redirect some of that time to bringing you a little closer to God, right? Like if something's taking you, funny cat videos are taking 2 hours out of your life, can you maybe cut that down to 30 minutes and spend 30 more minutes of the hour and a half you just saved and do something that then helps you get closer and connect better with God? I think that would be my takeaway.
Yeah, and I recommend spending that time in relationship with others.
Yeah.
Which is what we are called and created to do. Or in relationship with God, which would be prayer, meditation, fasting, reading, time in the scripture. Both things are a better use than cat videos. Amen. No offense to all cats out there.